On Anger. Whoever is angry with his brother shall deserve to be condemned by the judgment. Matthew 5:13. The following is from St. Basil the Great. Those persons who are subject to this furious passion are compared in Holy Scripture to beasts, because they imitate their malignity. And those who are in the habit of committing all kinds of crime are rightly placed in the category of those ferocious and carnivorous animals who bear a natural enmity to man. Quickness of temper, ill-natured, inconsiderate words, violence, calumnies, reproaches, injuries, blows, and all other disorders are the result and fruit of anger. It is that vice which sharpens the swords with which men kill each other, that brothers no longer recognize their own flesh and blood, that parents and children stifle the best feelings that nature implants in them. The passionate man does not even know himself. He respects neither age, virtue, nor kindred. He forgets benefits, and is not moved by aught that is most sacred amongst men. Anger is a momentary madness. Those who are prone to it neglect themselves for the sake of revenge, and often thereby expose themselves to all sorts of danger. The remembrance of wrongs that may have been inflicted on them is like a needle which continually pricks them. Their excited minds know no rest until they have caused some grief, or until they have inflicted some injury on those who may have offended them, when what they wish to do often recoils upon themselves, and this is frequently the case. The following is from St. John Chrysostom. Do you not know that when one flies into a passion, trifling things appear insupportable, and what is the least injurious becomes magnified and appears to be an insulting outrage? That which we look upon as a little word has often caused murders and ruined entire cities. Thus, when we love someone, the most disagreeable task appears to be light and easy. In like manner, when we cherish hate, the lightest things appear to be insupportable. Although the word or words may have been uttered without intention of hurting the feelings, we harbor the thought that it must proceed from a heart that is poisoned against us. St. Paul says, "Let not the sun go down on your anger." He fears that the night, finding the offended person alone, may fester the wound. During the day, the work and bustle of the world causes his anger to slumber, but when the night has come, he is alone, and he broods over his fancied injuries, and his troubled soul becomes excited, and passionate anger resumes its sway. St. Paul, foreseeing this evil, wishes him to be reconciled before the sun goes down, in order that the devil may not have the opportunity of re-enkindling his anger, and thus make it turn to hate. The following is from St. Ambrose. If a man cannot help feeling angry in spite of himself, he can at least try to mitigate his wrath. Against that unhappy feeling of anger, we should oppose it by that gentlest of all virtues, patience. For if anger should exceed its proper limit, it opens a wound in the soul which allows itself to be led away. It deadens every proper feeling, thickens the tongue, disturbs the eye, and, in fact, revolutionizes the whole frame. Therefore, in dealing with an angry man, resist him if you can, and if you cannot, yield to him. Would you wish to know how to act when you have received an insult? Do not return evil for evil. Pay no attention to malicious reports, neither be wicked because others are wicked. The pagans have often quoted a remark made by one of their philosophers, and which is certainly deserving of praise. His servant having greatly displeased him by an act of gross injustice, he said to him, "Go, wretched man, how severely would I not punish you, were I not in a passion?" David acted in a similar way. He restrained his anger when he felt tempted to revenge, but he so thoroughly had mastered his passions that he did not answer a single word to the insults they heaped upon him.